Live from the castle of Kostelic in the Czech Republic, the sounds of the bazaar. Your host for the show tonight, Joanna Borchardt.
And Eileen Lübke.
We bring you some fresh comments from our crossing boundaries, the changing roles of the changing roles of trainers
in Europe.
Organized by the Leonardo Project, trainers to support you. Network to support trainers in Europe. Yes. And Joanna, tell me, what do you have been learning today?
Today I learned that to organize a conference is pure stress, but somehow funny. But well, it was a lecture learned in the last weeks. What I have learned today in the workshop of Sandra Sukan is an interesting name game.
Oh, okay.
This is to learn as a teacher, your students... to see your students as human beings with a certain history, with a familiar background, and yeah, to just come closer to each other as human beings.
Okay, are we going to play it?
Yeah.
Great.
So I will ask you a few questions and try to answer openly and spontaneously.
Okay.
How did you get your name?
Oh, my name is Eileen, and In fact, my parents had a couple of problems to find the name because I am a twin and they had only one name. But suddenly they had two names for two girls to find. So it took them a while to find this name, and they looked up on an architecture from Bauhaus style, Eileen Gray, and they liked the name a lot. So they named me Eileen because they liked the designer and they liked the name.
And does this, your name has also another meaning?
Yeah, I think it's an Irish conversion of Helena, which means the shiny one.
Do you like or do you dislike your name, and why?
I really like my name because it's quite unique for Germany, and I have a quite typical German last name, which is Lübke, and I think it goes quite well in for international conferences. So everybody can say my first name, but nobody can pronounce my last name. And this is kind of funny, and I really like it.
But if you could choose another name, would you do it, and why?
I wouldn't choose another name. I'm happy with it.
And the last question is a question which some of the workshop participants found best. And the question is, what is the relevance of this exercise?
And I should answer it? You have to answer it. I think it's a good way to get to know each other, I would say. I know this guy.
Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Erik Ats. I'm from the Netherlands, and I work at the Center for Research and Development in Education and Lifelong Learning.
Excellent. Erik, how do you get your name, and do you like it?
My surname, of course, is the name of my family. And my first name, I think my parents choose it because they didn't want to use names from the family.
Okay, interesting. And what have you learned today on this conference?
I learned again that there are outside education much more fruitful learning environments in which people develop themselves.
So this is a plus and a comment on the conference? Or do you refer to other institutions?
I do not refer to institutions. I refer to social practices like, of course, the vocational or professional context, but also, for instance, sports associations are perfect learning environments who are underestimated by people who always have the school system in their head.
And do you think this can be a perspective for Europe?
Yes, sure. I think that the possibilities of learning will expand necessarily with societal development.
Thank you, Erik. Back to you, Joanna.
Lynn. I am here with a young man from the United Kingdom, and he came to our conference in search of red herrings. Warren, can you tell me something about the search for red herrings?
Thank you. I knew at some point I'd have to explain this to someone, not necessarily to a whole group of people, and also the radio at the same time. My name's Warren Kidd. I work at the University of East London, and I train teachers in what we call the post-compulsory sector. So I train teachers to work with learners aged 14, 16, and on. So, you know, 19, 30, 40, 80, 90, whatever. I'm a fan of e-learning, and I came here to do a paper presentation looking at how we use Web 2.0 tools in the training of our teachers who are work-based learners and also distance learners at the same time. And in the pre-conference materials that I sent you, I had a question which kind of buried somewhere said something like, is e-learning a red herring? And the concept of red herring, I think, is a very peculiar sort of English colloquialism. And a red herring is something which you spend lots of time looking for, but in doing so, you're wasting time that you could actually spend more profitably elsewhere. And in fact, it's something you'll never find and never use and not much use or value to you. And I have a slight worry about e-learning. I'm a fan of e-learning. I use Web 2.0 tools, but I kind of worry that we focus on the E and not really on the learning. And there's something about that that kind of worries me a little bit. So actually, I'm a fan of learning, and I think e-learning might be a little bit of a red herring if used inappropriately.
Thank you very much. Back to you, Eileen.
Okay, I have a next guest, I guess, from Portugal. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Albano Vasconcelos. I'm the director of the National Vocational Training Center for Wood and Furniture Industries. And we are very interested in job placement. Till the really beginning of our center, we have to do a lot of work in job placement. In the dual system, in initial training, is very, very important to work with companies.
So have you been getting some kind of interesting ideas from the conference for your work?
Yes, in the morning, especially in the morning, I see that there are very, very different realities. Projects and schemes and frameworks very well developed, another one in the really beginning, and we always learn with the experiences is good, not so good experience, but we are always learning and transferring to our reality, to our daily work, the reflections we made in this kind of events.
I think we have what Europe also experiences is a tension between a trend to academization of jobs and a trend of people saying we need more workplace learning. Where do you think we should put an emphasis on it?
It's not easy to answer that question. I may say the main question in VET, but for us really important is to qualify the resources, especially the human resources in job learning. That means, for us, it means that the trainers, the in-job trainers, must be not only technical and technological skills, but also with basic pedagogical skills also. Even if the companies have in technological fields to have the necessary conditions to fulfill this goal at the really end of the job learning placement.
Thank you. Back to you, Joanna.
I am standing here close to a man who, as the gossip said, had a vivid discussion this morning. What was it about?
Well, first, I must say that, Eileen, you are actually very happy with your name, lucky, because you could have as well be named Walter Gropius or Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, given the fact that your parents were fans of Bauhaus. There was some fruitful discussion. I only hope that I didn't make anybody hate me for that. And I represent here the far most successful project in Europe education, which of course is the Europass.
Can you tell some words about what this discussion was about and who won?
The first discussion was about the decline of classical education as defined by Konrad Liesmann, and our opinion that that doesn't really matter. And the other discussion was about the European initiatives EQF, ECVET, and their compatibility with group and individual learning.
And what was your most astonishing experience, or what astonished you most in this discussion?
Oh, in this discussion?
Today, as you want.
Today, the weather.
Okay, I must say something about the weather, although there are so many interesting other topics. But I can say that the weather is really beautiful. In the morning we had some fog, so everyone said, oh, it will be a cloudy day. But after some hours, the fog passed away and we have beautiful sunshine and good weather, and we just enjoy walking around in this castle, a bit in the park, and to look out, because we have here a wonderful view, a great panorama over the Black Woods around Kostelets. Okay, but let's get back to the topic. Eileen.
Topic? Which topic? Tina, how do you think is the weather here in Kostelitz?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
And how do you get your name?
My name was given to me by my parents because it was such a short name, so Tina, and that hopefully nobody would ever try and shorten it.
Okay, I think it was a good choice for not shortening. Tell me from which background you come. What is your university?
Right, I come from Staffordshire University and I run a teacher training centre for adult education.
Okay, we have been talking about the changing roles of trainers. Can you describe shortly and summarise the changing roles that trainers have now face in the new settings?
Is that all you want me to do?
Yes.
That's huge. If I can answer something slightly different in some ways, I think what I've been surprised and really pleased about today is that whilst there's so many different languages spoken here, we're all actually speaking the same language, which is about trying to decrease the tension between the academic, the technical, to make sure that people are learning and progressing in the right way.
Sounds great. And Sandy? Hi, we have been talking to each other, and I know that you are keen on trying to set up a scheme that trainers are more able to move between countries. Would you like to inform us about your idea?
Okay, this has come from the work that I do for my organisation, which is to support the mobility of trainers to be able to work in whichever European country they wish to work in. And in order to do that, they need their qualifications need to be transparent and easily recognisable by the employers that they may well go to work with. So my idea is to develop a comparison table which allows trainers and employers to compare the qualification that they obtained in their own country to see how it looks against the qualification that is expected in the country they wish to work in, which would then allow them to sort of see where they need to perhaps fill in some of the gaps in order to be able to meet the expectations of their practice in that country.
And you have been talking to a lot of people about your ideas here at the conference. How do they react on it?
I think they are receiving it well. I think it is something that would be very effective on a European level. And I think we all wish to assist vocational and education trainers to have the mobility that they want, but it's how to actually do this in practice, because every country, if you like, is in a different place with the professionalisation of the vet trainers. So how do we make them compatible, if you like, in terms of so that we have all been, some of the sessions that I've been to, we've all been talking about the competencies that trainers require in a way, it doesn't matter what context they are in. There are core competencies that we would all like. And at the end of the day, it needs to focus on the experience that the learner gets in whatever context it is. So the idea is that they agree that they it may benefit to have a set of core competencies that we all work with optional modules that are delivered in the context of the country that they want to work in or in the context of the workplace that they wish to work in.
And how would you relate it to the EQF? Can it be integrated in the EQF, or is it an alternative road to go?
No, it is. It can absolutely be aligned along with the EQF, because the EQF is about different levels of competencies. And of course, we can talk about and have that discussion about what level of competency we wish for our trainers to actually have. And at the end of the day, the focus, for me, the focus has to be on the experience that the learner has. And if you like to compare it with, doctoring and nursing isn't about doctoring and nursing, it's about the well-being of the patient. And in the same way, for us to be good the impact of good training has to be on the person who is being trained.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Tina. And back to you, Joanna.
Thank you, Eileen. I am here with the mother of this conference, Simone Kirpal. Simone, is this what you have expected when you applied for the money?
Well, initially, we wanted to do many conferences, but then we were not given money to do conferences. So this is the only actual face-to-face opportunity to meet. And I think, I would have liked many more people to be here. But I think we have had a very good input. And I think what has been very good, because initially I was thinking we would talk for 2 days about what the network has achieved and what we've done. But now we have... you have done a completely different concept and just saying, the network is past and we look ahead into the future and we bring back contributions from so many other people. And I think this has been great. And everybody who came by this poster has asked me, so how is the network going to be continued and how can it be continued? So I think there is a great interest and this is great. And also what I'm very impressed about is that we have people from other continents here, from Canada and Nigeria, and I think this is one of the great new opportunities for the future that we can open up and to include people from other countries in this network.
Thank you very much. Now, we would like to make a longer interview with our guests from Nigeria, because we are so happy to have two guests here. Could you shortly introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. I am Dr. Bukar Sule from Nigeria. I am a lecturer in one of the Federal University of Technology, named after their first prime minister, Bukar Tafabolea University. It's a Federal University of Technology. It's one of the 55 University of Technology we have there. I'm an academician, a lecturer in computer science.
And what do you think is, what role plays the vocational education in your country?
Yeah, we have a lot of educational centers, you understand? Those people, they play a vital role in the educational sectors. Because if you see, even at the university, if there is a failure there, which means these people need to be blamed. So they give serious attention to the vocational centers. Mm-hmm. Training of teachers need to be carried out. They do encourage them. Some of them, they do training on their own to see that actually they cope with the latest technology that is going on.
We have been a big issue here on the conference is the e-learning. Is it in Nigeria too a big issue, e-learning?
Yeah, it's a big issue because we have to move with the trend. You understand, the technology is moving, people have to cope with it. So still, there are a lot of effort have been made by the government, you understand, to see that actually everything is done via what? E-learning. So that you can stay anywhere, get access to the various resources, have your degree online and so on. So open education have been created. Vocational centers also have been encouraged to adapt to the latest technology, but still challenges are there. The fund, You understand? Even those tools are there, they are created. Those teachers, some of them, they are still, they are too resistant, you understand, to cope with the technology. Because to convert them is not easy. Money, phone, and other things are what are needed. Yeah, so that's the big challenge.
Yeah. I think we have still the same challenge in Europe. How to persuade teachers to use e-learning tools and technologies. Yeah, yeah. And I've been discussing with Warren Kidd that we are locking them in. Yeah. And if they are not sending us a Twitter message, get us out, they will not be getting out of the room.
Yeah.
So this might be a way to convince them.
Yeah.
So the usual question is, what do you expect from the conference? But I would be interesting, what do you think Europe can learn from Nigeria in the way you are doing the vocational training?
First of all, before going to that, thanks the organizer, you understand, to have an expert here, you understand? Yeah, put them together, share ideas. Yeah, there's something I learned, you understand, in the afternoon sessions. We have, in Nigeria, we have more ideas, you understand, to handle what project. Their ideas are there, you understand, but how to put those project in what in practice is very difficult. Yeah, and sometimes when they started, they what they face out that the maintenance what becomes what a big issues. So I've seen some people who made some presentation in the afternoon how this Euro pass, you understand, how those things started and how they put them in practice and how they are maintaining them. So that those things are actually what big issues that and actually I learn. Yeah, it's something that I'm sure when we have those our ideas. We formulate them, we model them, we put them in practice. I think we can be able also to maintain our project because you have more ideas. More people have what ideas there, and I think we will follow the same pattern, you understand, to create project and then maintain them. Yeah, because our government need it. Yeah.
Thank you very much for having you on the show and having you at the conference.
Thank you.
Joanna, what have you learned? Oh, yeah, you have learned the exercises, right? Stuff.
Yes.
Where did you get your name from?
It's an idea of my parents who actually like the sound so much that my sister is called almost the same way. Her name is Anna. So, you know, Joanna and Anna. But to anticipate your second question, no, it was not a famous person after who I am named. And to anticipate your third question, yes, I like my name because people in most countries can say it. For example, in China, they have no problems with it.
And we have our final guest on the show, Sandra Sukan. Sandra, you're coming from Canada, but you have been quite often traveling through Europe and visiting European conferences on educational research, as I know from informed sources like Pekka Kamerain. Sandra, give me something details about your background. Also, where you get your name from?
I was born in South America, in Guyana, and I emigrated to Canada 40 years ago. And so this is my 40th anniversary, which is also my wedding anniversary.
Applause.
To the same man.
Second applause.
I got my name is Savitri Sandra. So I actually go by my second name when I'm in my professional life. And so I'm not used to people calling me by my first name, which is Savitri, unless they're family. So I reserve that for family. So if you're family, I guess you can call me Savitri if you feel like you're family. And Sandra is my parents are the only people who call me Sandra in my personal life. So I make that distinction because sometimes people will think that I anglicized my name, or my Sandra is a derivative of Savitri, but it's actually my real name. And I have to say what I learned from this conference, I learned a lot of things, but I actually learned that you can make dumplings with liver. I learned that today. I'm quite a good cook, but I've never made liver dumplings. I'm enjoying the conference because I feel like much of what we are doing, we're facing the same kinds of challenges. And my focus of my research and my work is more on the social aspects of technical and vocational education. So whether it happens in the workplace or whether it happens in an academic institution, I really try to focus on that we're real people, and hence the exercise on the names.
And you have been doing also research on Botswana, right?
Yes, I have.
Can you give us a short introduction? What is the value of vocational training in Botswana?
Well, vocational training in Botswana is—it's kind of, they have the same kind of framework, a very similar framework to Canada. But my work there was to establish a training center in Habaroni, and that was one of the challenges that I faced there as going there to do that, is the kind of, sort of oriental aspect of looking at people. So I really, for me going there, part of it, I have a vocational background. I'm actually a hairstylist by trade. And working on my doctorate, trying to, and it's not a doctorate in hairstyling, it's in environmental studies. And the environment I study is the social environment. So when I went to Botswana, it was to help to establish a training center, but really to find out about how, you know, what was I really giving there? What was I doing there? What would I be taking away? What would I be contributing? And what kind of legacy would be left at the end of all of that? So am I just taking, and am I giving, or am I intending to give something back? And what were some of those lessons that I learned when I went there, which surprisingly was that I was told I was white. So I teach about white privilege, so that was a big challenge for me.
So we should, since we are on the radio show, Sandra has a milk coffee tent, I would put it as well. A cafe latte, as she states. So thank you, Sandra, for having these comments. I think the best concluding remark is dumplings can be done with liver. And? And I want to finish. I will try to make the same sound that Graham Atwell is usually doing if he is closing the sessions on the sound of the bazaar. These are the sounds of the bazaar. Thank you for listening.